Greetings, one and all, wherever you are in the universe, and welcome to the latest episode of An Espresso Shot of Confidence, the podcast that explores all aspects of confidence, challenges taboos and unhelpful narratives, and empowers you to be awesome, loudly and proudly. It's time to grab yourself a drink and settle in for the next however long this episode is. I'm your host, the Master of Awesomeness, Ashley Griffiths, and today we will be talking all about you and how you show up in life, in business, online, and how you do that as your most authentic, quirky, awesome self. And who better to talk to about this than the awesome Afful Forbes, the founder of AF Insights. She is on a mission to help her clients honor their uniqueness and show up in a way that feels good for them. So good morning, Afful. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. And you?
Fabulous. Thank you. Fabulous.
What a great way to start the week. Do this on a Monday morning.
Absolutely. Booyah. Absolutely. Love it. Love it. So could you tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself?
Well, my name's Afful Forbes. I'm a mom of two boys. That's like my number one job. I'm also a farmer's wife and a business owner. But in my house, there are four different types of businesses in different sectors, and not all mine. So one's mine, one I run with my husband. My husband has one of his own, and one he runs with his parents, which is the farm business. So there's four businesses in this house. My background is oil and gas. So I did that for about 20 years. But about 11, 12 of them was with a big, well-known oil company. And what I found, how I've ended up on this path, was every time I got put into teams, they just started working. And so it was because I did that coaching-y stuff, but I just didn't know that it had a name and it was actually a job. So basically when I came in, because I'm quite chatty and friendly and open, it was like infectious. It spread throughout the team, and then everybody started having better relationships and we started performing better. But somebody spotted it and then, you know, paid for me to get lots of training. And then I had one of these great jobs that happens in the oil industry all the time. One of these job titles that people go, what is that? So I was a production efficiency improvement specialist. So basically, I got floated into teams to help their performance. And I got floated into lots of different teams. And what I found when that happened was everybody hated me to start off with. So, and I took it all really personally. Why does everybody hate me? They shout at me and they don't invite me to meetings and they won't give me any of the data that I need to do my job. But actually, after I'd been in a few teams, I realized it wasn't a me thing. It was just the job and people not wanting to change the way that they were doing things. So I had to be on the front foot with building trust with people and get really good at that. And I'm not very guarded and I'm quite open. And that makes people think, oh, what's that all about? You know, what's she, you know, they don't understand it. But what I find is when I keep doing that, then people let their guards down and they trust you because, you know, you're open, you're not hiding things. And when I used to go into the teams, when I planned to execute the work, there was a bit at the beginning I called the moan zone. And with the teams that I went into, how much they hated me defined how long the moan zone was. If they were really anti-Athol, the moan zone was a bit longer. Or if they were quite receptive, I could make it a bit shorter in my planning. But what I found was that moan zone was critical because that was the bit where the trust got built. So if they trusted me enough to have a good old moan, firstly, they offloaded it, so they got over it. So actually, the more I let them moan, the quicker they got over it. So we could then start doing some stuff that actually we could get going with. But also in that moan zone, I would grab all of that. And what you used to find was when I was doing the moan zone with people, there would be themes that would come out. And then those mm-hmm. themes were the things then that I could go and put actions in to get them a win, which then meant, ooh, she's not horrible. She actually helps us. We'll maybe get her to do some more stuff. And that's how it worked. And then it was a pattern every team I went into. And then when I left, whenever I finished doing whatever I was doing, I was going on to another team. They would be like, no, you can't leave. We're starting to get all these results. And I'd be like, it's not you, it's me. I need to move on to another team. My work here is done. You're on the right path. Off you trot. I can come back, but I've got to work with somebody else. So I actually really enjoyed that. But what I found in that job, I was in a really technical environment. And I'm a mm-hmm. people-y person. And yeah. I love people, any kind of people interface, I'm into it. I always joke that I'm not into details, but if you give me details with regards to people, I'm in. You know, totally in. But in that technical background, quite a lot of, and this is kind of a convoluted way of saying how I got to where I got told my whole life I was wrong. And what is the point okay. of view? You know, the engineers would look at me, what is the point of view? And I would just have to say, look, give me 2 or 3 weeks and you'll see. See all those brilliant ideas that you're having. You can't get anybody to do them because they're so complicated, nobody understands. Give it to me. And I will put it in a form that they will understand, and then it will start getting implemented. And that's what happened. And that's what people use me for quite a lot. You know, they have these great, fantabulous ideas, but then they can't condense it or make it clear enough that people are understanding what they're trying to do. So I call that the Athol filter. And my business partner, Ian, he's a super tech guy, so like he's like, I need to Athol filter it because it's just like a wall of data and stuff sure. coming towards me, and I'm like, Ian, that's too complicated. Let me condense it down into a way that people understand, and we can break it up. You know, start it with the basics. What are the must knows, and then build on the back of that. So how I ended up doing this work is because I got told that I didn't fit. I tried to change myself to fit into other people's boxes for years and years and years. And it made me miserable trying to be something that I wasn't. And then when I started my own business, I realized I didn't have to be somebody else. I didn't have to be professional. I didn't have to be technical. I didn't have to be anything. You know, and the bit that works really well for me is just being me. And you know what? That's the easy bit. You don't have to try hard to be yourself. And it's easy to be consistent when you're being yourself. So this is kind of my mantra for other people is, like, there's no shoulds. There's no, like, professional. Just be yourself. And the people that will love you will be drawn to that. And the people that don't dig it, well, okay, they're not for you. Not everybody is.
Sure, move you on that. I think there's that notion that you need to be a certain way. I think in an office environment, in a corporate environment, on a social media environment, there's pressure to conform. But a lot of the time that pressure comes from within. I find that, well, what happens if I do stand out? Will I be an outlier? Will I be left to fend for myself with the dinosaurs and the predators out there? But kind of coming back to that, I know the work that you do right now, you help people show up authentically as themselves in a way that feels aligned to them and feels good for them in the online mm-hmm. space, wherever that is. So just focusing on LinkedIn, why do people find, and I see it, and I know loads of people make some decent money off this, purely off the back of the fact that people struggle with showing up on LinkedIn, showing up as themselves and just being themselves? I mean, why mm-hmm. do you think people struggle with this so much?
A lot of it, as you said, it's self-limited beliefs. And it a lot of it is letting go and not focusing on the outcome, because control is a bit of a fallacy anyway. We can't really control what happens. You know, like, we think we can, but we can't really, you know. And I think when you let go of that, you know, it's like tracking your metrics for posts, okay? So I keep a note of my metrics, but I'm not, oh my God, I've got less than 1,000 views on this post. I must have done terribly. You know, it's just a, oh, right, this is kind of roughly where I'm sitting. Oh, videos are doing a bit better just now, or polls are doing a bit better, or, oh, you know, I'm not getting as many people looking at my stuff. But do I sit there going, right, I have to do something to make that happen? No, I don't. I show up, and then, like, it just works because I just consistently show up in whatever form that is. If it's a poll post, if it's a video post, you know, I just, but I think people get, I think we're into an age with social media that we're in the vanity metrics, you know, how many views you've got on your post, how many connections have you got, doesn't really matter. It's quantity, it's quality rather than quantity. You know, I could have 18,000 people in my LinkedIn and not have a decent connection with any of them. So, like, for me, it's like following a thread. So if you get somebody, like, what we're doing now is followed a thread, isn't it? Like, we've chatted a few times, and then you'd posted something, and I listened to my gut a lot. And I think what happened was you posted something, and I said, oh, I think we should really speak about this. I think this could be really useful to people, you know, about showing up as themselves and how important it is. And how bloody exhausting is it to show up as somebody else? And I think that is what a lot of people do. They try to fit into some sort of box, but the box has been made by them. And actually, they don't need the box at all.
I see it constantly. You end up with just these echo chambers. It just sounds like, okay, you've got an influencer here, and then you've got loads of mini-me's after that, talking about the same things. And you mentioned that about the vanity metrics. I was thinking a lot about this recently. You know, people saying, oh, check me out, I've got 10,000 followers. People are putting posts on as if this is some sort of meaningful result. And obviously it has some meaning to them, but really, I mean, what's the meaning? What is that? You know, okay, you feel like you have some sort of worth because 10,000 people have decided to follow you. Okay, fair enough. But where's the impact in that? Mm-hmm. And the same with likes and impressions, you know, the amount of conversations that I've had with people that are questioning their competence, questioning their ability, questioning themselves on the back of a post that didn't do well on social media. I think it's like, I think we need to take a step back there.
Yeah, because do you know what that's to do with? That's seeking approval and validation outside of yourself. And really, it's an inside job. If you're looking for other people to approve and validate you, you'll never be happy. It's not like we started this conversation today before we started recording. I think I said, nobody else is responsible for your happiness except for you. You can't expect your partner to make you happy, your kids to make you happy, your work to make you happy. You need to make yourself happy. And if you're looking outside for that to fill the hole that you've got inside, you're always going to be miserable. And I was like that most of my life, looking for other people to go, yay, well, you've done a good job. But actually, I don't need them to tell me that I've done a good job. When I've done a good job, I know it within myself.
No, I'm with you. I think that the world we live in, right, does emphasize the external. I know we talked earlier on about things like makeup and beauty filters on social media. You go on and you're thinking, okay, if I get this external thing. If I buy this product, then people respect me. But ultimately, like you said, it all starts from within. And when you create anything, when you do anything from a place of self-respect, the results naturally follow. I've seen both sides of the coin, like you were saying. I've seen both sides of the coin here. When I've shown up on a personal level, I mean, certainly for me, when I first came online, one of the challenges I had on a personal level is that for a lot of my life, I hadn't felt seen or heard. Now, going onto social media, A, can be massively triggering, and it really was for me when I started posting. It was like, well, will anybody care? Will anybody see me? Will I feel heard? And I realized that after a while that I was doing things for the wrong reasons. Like you said, I was looking for that external validation. And if people see me or hear me on social media, then that means I have something of worth. And that can become a dangerous feedback loop, especially if you don't have that awareness that the reason why you're doing it. Mm-hmm. Now, compare that to now where I'm like, okay, well, I'm working on myself first. Validate, whatever. I don't need anyone's approval. I need my own approval. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And everything follows from there, right?
Mm-hmm. I do it with my kids all the time. You know, they're saying, oh, blah, blah, thanks. And I'm like, but it doesn't matter what they think. What do you think? Going back to the makeup thing. Like, I usually like to have my nails done. I haven't had a chance to do them. But anyway, so they're usually all different colours. And Harris, for a while, was wanting me to paint his nails. So I did. I remember at the Jubilee, I'd done, like, a Union Jack on his fingernails with, you know, and he was like, oh, Mom, could you just paint two? Or could you do me some black fingernails? So we were doing that. And then he went into school and one of the other kids had made fun of him about his painted fingernails. And I said, Harris, it doesn't matter what they think. Do you like it?
Yeah.
And he said, yeah. I said, so it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. That's their opinion. They might wear things that, you know, you don't think is cool. That's up to them. If you like it and it makes you happy, then go for it. It's not about anyone else. And like, so I've got two children whose speed of parenting is totally different. I've got a younger one who is like fearless and does not care and will do whatever. You know, he'll come right up to you. Hi, I'm Ellis. Do you want to play? You know, he doesn't care whether you reject him or not. He's just like, doesn't care. Whereas Harris is really quite sensitive. So he feels things like that more intensely. And my work with him is teaching him that it's totally okay to be him. He's not wrong. He's got things that about him that are wonderful and special that other people don't have. And that kind of forms the basis of what I do in my job, is because we all have things that are wonderful and special about us. But most of the time, we can't see it. You can't see the label of a jar on the inside. You can only see it on the outside. So part of my job is like getting to know people. And then I go, cool, that's really interesting. Have you thought about this? And they're like, oh, would people find that interesting? Yeah, they would. Hey, you should speak about that thing you spoke about last week. That was, you know, when you were saying about blah, 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 blah. All my job is doing is just reflecting back what I'm seeing from them. And then, you know, I listen, I catch, then I reflect back. And those things that I reflect back are then post ideas or how they can show up. You know, I had a lady came to me about doing speaking. Now, I haven't done speaking for ages and ages. And she must have seen me speak about 4 or 5 years ago. And she came back and she said, can you teach me to do some speaking? And I'm like, I don't really teach people how to do that. And she said, well, she said, I've seen lots of speakers and nobody touched me the way that you did. And I said, well, I don't even know if I can do that, because then that's teaching you to be you, teaching you to be me. And I'm me. Like, you need to be you. So I can't teach you how to be me. And I don't want you to be me. You wouldn't want to be me, believe me. but so I ended up teaching her how to show up as herself. And she was awesome. But she just didn't see it because she couldn't see inside herself. Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense. So it's totally makes sense. It's what I work a lot with my clients, and I've always kind of worked on that, not just in the role that I do the video coaching now, but also when I was in education and in management, it was that same thing, spotting things in people that they refused to see or didn't believe that were there. And one of the things I always say, and pretty much anyone who's ever worked with me would have heard this line, and it usually goes something like this: when they send the first video, and I want to see more of insert name, not whoever that is on the camera, because they're holding back, they're holding their personality back, they're not letting it out. And the moment they let it out, their delivery just becomes so much more natural, so much more them, so much more fun. And it just, so I'm always saying that I think there's just so many, like you said, there's just so many people just don't see it. And in all fairness, looking at it from a cultural lens, certainly here on these isles of the Britishness, it's not really encouraged, is it?
No. And I think it's actually worse if you're a woman. Who does she think she is? You know, like, ooh. You know, and I remember I was pitching once, and I had a friend who was a coach. I'm not going to say her name, but me and Alison, my business partner, were doing pitching, which I didn't know, but I was really good at it. It was a bit of a shock, really, like, that I was good at pitching. And it was only when I'd been put into a situation where I'd had to do some pitching and, like, I kept winning. And I'm thinking, why is that happening? And I didn't really understand what was going on. I remember once it was awful. I did this hot housing project with ex-oil and gas people. And we had to do two pitches, a technical pitch for a business, because they were trying to create businesses with us people. And we had to do a personal pitch. And there was 25 of us. And I went to the guy that was running it going, I don't really want to run a business. I you know, I've come here to work with somebody else. And he said, you have to come up with a business idea. So I went away and I made up this diddy business idea that I had absolutely zero intention of ever doing. I went and I did my pitch, and people voted, they graded them like first or second or third. So, like, I think three businesses got through. And then we went and did a meal at night time. And then they were doing the meal and they were like, oh, there's one other business got through here. And this person has got through just by the sheer amount of votes that she got, not necessarily in first or second place. And out of 25, 18 people voted for this person's business. I didn't even want my business to get voted through. I was like, no, yeah, I was sitting in the seat going, no. And then I just felt the hand going on my shoulder. I'm like, swear word, swear word.
No.
Oh. Another time I went and pitched to Offshore Europe and I lost my mic and all I could hear was feedback, and we still got voted second, even though nobody could hear what we were saying. Why? Like,
That's impressive.
It is impressive. So there's something in there, like, that I didn't even see about myself, that, like, other people saw in me. And that's why I got asked to do speaking and stuff, and I refused and said I wouldn't do it, for years. Same with videos as well. Like, the minute that I, honestly, I've got videos at the beginning, Ashley, they're awful. Like, I've got professional ones that I paid somebody to come and record, and I look at them and I think, oh my God, that's just terrible. I can't believe I paid somebody to come and film me reading stuff. Like, oh.
Story time with Apple?
No, it was like, I was just doing like minute videos on like networking and being authentic and, you know, and it's just awful. I'm reading. And then my husband noticed it as well. He's like, why, whenever you finished a video, do you do this with your eyes over to the side? And when there I watched it back, I noticed I was doing it every time. But the thing that I learned, videos or speaking or pitching or whatever you do, you're always rubbish at the beginning. Do you think Usain Bolt went for a run the first time and was like, I'm going to run 100 metres in 9 seconds? No, he did it a million times before he got to that spot. And it's like with babies, when babies get up to walk, they don't get up once, fall and go, sack that off, I'm not doing that, walk and carry on. Like, they do it again and again and again and again and again, and eventually they can walk. And it's the same with doing any of these things that you have to do with showing up, whether that's writing social media posts or doing videos or pitching or whatever. I think people are unrealistic with themselves about how good they're going to be and don't give themselves the chance to fail and get better. Mm. And that's kind of the path, you know. Yeah. And like, you're not going to do one video and be absolutely awesome after your first attempt when you're trying to work out how to switch it on without you doing it, make sure the light's in the right place and all the technical stuff. Like, if you can just get yourself to record it, just keep doing it. I'm sure you do this with people. Just keep doing it. And eventually you'll get better at it. And let go of the outcome. I'm sorry, you are not that important. You will not influence everybody. But when you let go of that and go, the people that are meant to be there for you and that are attracted to your light and your wisdom and your knowledge and you as a person, they're your people. Don't hang out or waste your time or energy with people that are not for you. It's exhausting. Just don't do it. Like, I remember I was saying about the people that I work with and I don't work with. I've got some rules. Only because I've done it before and it's bloody exhausting when you get somebody, you're having to like drag stuff out of them. I'm like, no engineers, no financial advisors. And I know within the discovery call whether this is going to work or not, because there's no point in trying to fight somebody to be themselves if they're not ready to be themselves and are just needing a little bit of guidance. It's totally energy sapping for me. And then what I have found, and I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but I will put so much into that person, and at the end of the day, they won't post the video, they won't go and do the speaking gig, they won't go and write anything. And then I've put all that energy and effort into them. It becomes a complete waste of everyone's time because they've paid me. They've not used what they've gone and worked on. So then they don't advocate for me, so I don't get referrals out of it. It's a lose-lose situation. It's better for me to just cut that off the bat. I've got a finite resource and I don't have enough of it to be wasting on absolutely everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you do that, it's about boundaries. It's boundaries with yourself, and it's being aware about what it is you're wanting to achieve. If you're saying yes to everybody, good luck. I mean, like you said, it just takes up so much energy. You have finite energy. You want to work with people that light you up. It's like, for me, if I work with anybody who just wasn't prepared to do a video, then there's absolutely no point. There's absolutely no point in us working together, because that is going... It's not the end, you know, it's not the be all and end all of the work that we do together, but it's an essential part of it. You know, them honoring themselves enough to show up as them. That, and actually doing the video, I'm very clear with people up front. Will you post a, are you willing to post a video? Yes or no? If it's no, then we're not a fit. If you are, then let's get ready. Let's dive into the discomfort and get it done. And
doing the this. I'm going to post it. It's like throwing a grenade. But the thing is, today's post is tomorrow's chip paper. So, like, in a few days' time, nobody will have seen it. And then I think that's another thing that happens as well. People think that they're going to post it and everybody is going to see it. That doesn't happen.
Certainly not, and even more so at the moment with the various changes on social media platforms. I mean, hardly anyone bloody sees it. Not even me mum saw my last post. It's like, and I was like, wait a second, I thought I knew how this social media stuff worked. But you raise a valid point. The fact is, only a small percentage of your audience will ever see one of your posts, and even if they do see it, are they remotely interested in it on that day? Is it a message that resonates with them on that day? Now, even if that message is specifically for that person, they might not be in that place to receive that message, which is why I always say you need to be repeating yourself countless times. And again, and not only that, but from a marketing standpoint, the repetition, letting the messages sink in. But the more that you're kind of getting into that message, you're embodying that message, you're embodying talking to certain people, and the more you do it, the more that your confidence will grow within that, the more you find your voice, a unique take on it, instead of doing that initial bit. You know, there's loads of people that do what I do. I know there's loads of people that help people with their social media. There's loads of people. There's loads. There's loads. And that's why it's so important to show up as you in that moment. You know, instead of doing that initial, okay, I'm going to do a tip on how to post, how to create a video. Okay, that's everywhere. It's everywhere. What will make the difference is showing up, showing your personality, showing some humor, your unique take, chatting shit. As well, you know, I made a sale off just chatting absolute nonsense.
The thing is, it makes it fun. Like, fun is important. We're not here to be bloody miserable. You know, the people that you want to hang out with, you can have a laugh and a joke and, you know, speak about being in drag and makeup. And stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? I don't know who that would be about at all.
Who are you talking about, drag? Don't know what you're on about.
Oh, my goodness. But the thing is, that's the people that you're drawn to. And like, I think fun and joy are so underrated. You know, like, if you're hanging out and working with people that you like working with, it makes work a joy. And does that make it wrong? You know, I think there's kind of a bit of conditioning that is going on that work is supposed to be a drag and it's supposed to be hard. No, it's not. Actually, if you listen to, like, your insides, you know what you enjoy doing and who's fun and who you want to hang out with. And if you actually listen to that little voice that you've got inside, it's telling you the right way to go. But the problem is, we're so conditioned not to listen to that voice inside that we have. And I know it, and I bet you, when I say this to business owners, that pain in the backside customer, when you look back, there was red flags that you ignored that told you that they were going to be a pain in the backside, always.
Yep.
And like, so that isn't then their fault. It's your fault for not listening to yourself. And like, I think actually stopping and really checking in with yourself. Is this good for me? Do I want to do this? Do I like this person? You know, those are totally okay questions to ask yourself. what am I going to get out of this? That's not selfish.
That's an important question. No.
You know, that's not selfish. It's making sure, you know, like what I say, it's like a tank, right? Mm-hmm. You've got drainers and you've got fillers. So, and it's a simple equation. More fillers, less drainers equals happy life. So it's really simple. So what drains your tank? That doesn't mean you can't do it. It just means that when you do it, you've got to mitigate it with tank fillers. And make sure that you've got lots of tank fillers. But the first step for that is, what actually blooming fills your tank? People don't take the step back and go to themselves, what is it that fills my tank? Like, and what fills my tank won't fill your tank. So my tank is chatting with a friend, listening to some awful 90s rave music, going
awful.
For a run.
I'm going to stop you there. I'm going to stop you there. I refuse to be. We're throwing awful in the bin right there.
I love it. My husband goes, oh, you're listening to that stuff. And I'm like, go away. I like it.
Well, good. To quote yourself, it works for you.
Exactly.
It drives everyone else in your house mad, but you're happy. So.
Yeah, exactly. I'm owning. No, I've actually converted Ellis. He's into 90s dance music as well, so that's fine. Like, I mean, the other day we were sitting in the car, he's going, the summer is magic. I'm like, yes, I've converted him. But the other day he was saying to me, like, he changes words. So I put on the Prodigy, which is a bit hardcore, really, for a 6-year-old. And he was like, Mum, why is that song Every Pineapple in Your Face? It's not. It's Everybody's in the Place. But Ellis is
in your face.
Now you're going to hear that. No. When you hear that the next time, that's all you'll hear. But every time I hear it.
I don't know if you've just ruined the Prodigy for me or taken it to a whole nother level.
I thought it was hilarious. Every time I hear it now, that's all I hear is Every Pineapple in Your Face. Let's go. But that's the stuff that fills you up, laughing, you know, listening to 90s dance music, going for a run, having a walk outside, having a chat to a friend, doing work that I love doing. So like my radio show that I do on a Sunday, it's never going to make me loads of money, but I love doing it because I feel like I'm giving back to other people things that might be useful for them. So you need to have a mixture of stuff you have to do, like my accounts, which I'm getting threatening emails about. I bloody hate it. That's a tank drainer for me, big time. Yeah. Every year I go, right, I'm going to do this every month. Every year I wait until I get the threatening email from my accountant and do it all in a week, and I'm totally exhausted. Done it the whole 7 years of my business. I'm not going to change the way that that works now. I have accepted that that is the way that I deal with my accounts. You know, so it's about accepting yourself and just managing, you know. So, yes, I'm going to do my accounts, but then I'll have a week of doing stuff that I really enjoy to mitigate me being exhausted from doing the stuff that I don't do. So it's just about managing yourself, really, and being on the front foot of managing yourself.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Filling up your cup is really, really important. It will be different for everybody. It'll be different for everybody what works for you. And I think, again, you said the word, you know, a few times when we've been talking about stuff today, like that's selfish or that's wrong or I should be doing everything the same way as these people. For example, self-care and stuff at the moment, a lot of this stuff says, oh, you've got to journal, you've got to meditate, you've got to eat X amount of portions of fruit and veg, sleep for 500 hours, get up at 4 a.m, do all this shit.
Drink a green smoothie, which my radio co-host is like, you're drinking that muck again, Athol. And then I turned up with the cold at the weekend and he was like, how's your green smoothie working?
There you go. You need to maybe work with the amount of kale you're putting in it. And that will help.
Spinach,
I have it on good authority. Spinach is great for the soul. Spinach is great for the soul. But I think, like you said, I think the fun is absolutely crucial. I think the moment I took the broom out of my arse and actually let my personality out, and I started laughing and joking, and being playful and being mischievous. I had so much fun with it.
The thing is as well, we're recording videos or showing up. Like, it's scary because people might not like you, right? So that's the thing. That's why people don't do stuff. People don't show up because, you know, for no reason. It's painful and it's scary and it's fear of rejection and not being liked. Yeah. You know, we're all scared of being rejected. But I think if you temper that with, you're going to get rejected. It's life, you know. But yeah. The people don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You know, if you don't show up at all, nobody sees you, nobody likes you, nobody does nothing because they don't know you're there.
Yep.
But if you show up, maybe 95% of people might not dig what you're doing, but 5 might really, really dig it. So you're going to throw away those 95% that you don't like and the 5% that do like you and do dig it. So you're going to throw them away for the 95%. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes absolutely no sense. Like you said, you touched upon it. It's that rejection. One of the biggest objections I get is the judgment, fear of judgment. What will people think? Like when I'm doing the initial discovery calls and stuff and people initially reach out, they're like, I'm not sure about this. I'm not sure how I'm going to, what will people mm-hmm. think of me? And I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, who are you speaking to? Are you speaking, like you said, to that 95% of the people that you will never work with? No. Then speak to the people that you are. They will get it. It's like I've been increasingly working with, shall we say, quirky individuals. I've got a very interesting take on things, and I love working with them to like say, okay, right, you go for it. I'm like looking at it, oh bloody hell, no, I guarantee you no one else has done that on LinkedIn today. You know, and I love it. And I was talking to one of my clients the other week, and she got it into her head, a bit like what you were doing with the oil and gas, that she needed to absolutely lay it on thick with the technical terms. She was trying to demonstrate her knowledge, and I was like, okay, let me ask you this. Who is this for? Is this for hypnotherapists and people in your niche? Are you actually doing this for the science and medical profession, or are you doing it for your clients and the parents that are struggling to come to terms with what's going on in their lives? And she was like, yeah, I mean, how is you going off on one about how the brain's made up? How is that helping them? Oh, yeah. But don't I have to make be professional? Like, is that what you're trying to do? Is that your objective? Like you said earlier on, is that your mission? Are you, your end goal is people think you're professional. Is that really your end goal?
No.
Of course.
It's the good on that's the good on paper people, right? So you get these people, oh God, we've all had them, that have got every qualification under this. They're a TEDx speaker and have ran 5 multi-global businesses, blah, 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 6-figure sum, blah, blah, blah. You know, we've had all those before, right? Because it's supposed to be credible. So I will sometimes work with another coach who's down in Peterborough, and we were chatting, and he said, oh, Athel, would you do some training for me? And I said, what? And he said, will you do some training for me? And I said, sure, but you know that I'm not a qualified trainer or anything like that. And he said, no, I know that. He said, but you've got the one thing that I can't find, which is your energy's right. And he said, I know that if you are speaking about something, people will actually be interested and listen to what you've got to say. And I can't find that. It's not on any bit of paper. It's not on any LinkedIn profile or CV that you'll look at. And so for him, he went on energy rather than anything else. And I think that is the same for all of us, actually. Like when we go to buy things or do things, we're drawn to the people whose energy we like.
Yeah.
So if you're masking that totally energy by speaking about all the guff that you do, because nobody really cares, to be honest. Like, I'm sorry to burst people's bubble. Like, nobody really cares that you're a business owner or that you got all these qualifications or you've done whatever you've done for the last 20 years. Nobody really cares. They just know by speaking to you whether they like you or they don't like you. And if you're putting up some mask of somebody else that you're not and you're hiding from view, how can they really connect with you? So that masking, those filtering, those be professional people, I get them all the time. Oh, we need to be professional. And then I say to them, well, tell me what professional is. And they can't tell me because it's subjective. Like professional for you and professional for me will be totally different things. It's like aiming towards a moving dartboard, that professional thing. Once you dig into it, you're like, how's professional working out for you? And generally, it's not. That's why they've come to speak to me in the first place. But that mask holding, and I know I did it for years, and that's why I tell people not to do it. Like, it's exhausting holding up that perfect vision of yourself. And that the thing is, it blocks any real connection with anybody. People can smell it a mile away when you're not being authentic. So just own it. Like you say the odd blue word now and again. Sometimes you come in from doing stuff with sheep and cows and you look like you've stuck your finger in a socket because your hair is like, wah! You know, like
I get that problem all the time.
Yeah, easy maintenance, your hair, Ashley.
Extremely.
But the thing is, with my videos, you'll get me all done up like I am now, or you'll get me with no makeup on at all. You know, so, and does it really matter? For the people that are only interested in what I look like, it will. But for people that really know me and like me, they'll accept me whatever I look like because it's more interesting what comes out of my mouth rather than what I look like.
You're speaking my language there.
I know, we agree.
It's your message. It's your message. I mean, like, nobody gives a flying fuck about what you look like. Like you said, you've got what are you wearing today? I mean, how many people are actually going on? People don't go on to social media. Well, certainly not LinkedIn, to think, okay, it's a fashion show, what they're wearing today. You know, they're going to watch that video because there's some form of message, something compelling for them to watch. And so many people get hung up on the aesthetics of the video and what they should be doing as opposed to doing what lights them up and bringing their approach, their unique take, bringing that out. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, I've said it a million times, you know.
Should is a trigger word. If you ever say should, who's decided should? You usually find it's some nonsensical standard that you've created for yourself. Nobody should anything. That used to drive me mad. You know, I would see people pitching and they go, oh, but the customer should. No, the customer shouldn't anything. The customer can do whatever they like. It's not up to them to understand what you're trying to sell. It's your responsibility to make it clear and engage with them so they get it, so they're interested in what you're doing. That's not their responsibility. It's yours.
No, massively. Massively. I think that
so I can be a Mrs. Money Pants and get on people's cases sometimes as well. But it's real because I'm saying the things that the person that they're speaking to is thinking.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Like you touched upon earlier on, when people see content, people are reading it from the perspective of, is this relevant for me? And why should I care? You know, they don't give a toss about what you look like. how long it took you to do that video, whether you're a walking job title. They don't give a toss about that. It's like when I always use the example of when you go to a networking event and everybody does their little pitches. I mean, how many people actually pay attention? Everyone's screensaver goes, and I've seen it physically happen. The moment you start going, so, you know, tell me what you do, Ashley. You start and you just notice you're not there, are you? You've gone. So, I mean, these days, like in terms of that, I'll just say the first thing that comes out of my mouth when I get the pitch bit. And sometimes it's got absolutely nothing to do with business.
Yep.
At all. I play to the crowd. I'm just trying to get a laugh most of the time, and I'll just chat some nonsense. So, but you do see so many people hiding behind that job title. This is how I help people. That bloody statement on LinkedIn that people spend hours and hours and hours trying to perfect. Just rock up, say your bit.
But the thing is, who wants help anyway?
No one's going to admit that. I mean, I think personally people should. Oh, there's that word. People, I think it would benefit people if they did ask for help. But generally, from an egoic point of view, we're not going to ask for help.
People don't ask for help, Ashley, because that is putting you in a place of vulnerability. And most people are not comfortable with being vulnerable. And they don't ask for help. I only know because this was a massive problem for me for a long time, was asking for help. And I really struggled with it. And I had to do a lot of work on myself to get myself to the place where I would ask for help. So that's one facet of it. But the other thing, people that are in my space drive me berserk, because they go on the assumption that the other person needs help without even checking whether they do or not.
There's a lot of that. I mean, I cut countless emails and DMs. This is part of the reason I've just like literally just come off online. I just can't be doing with it. Like, you get countless messages and emails saying, I can get your podcast viral, your YouTube viral. I can get you 10 grand a month. And they're coming in with the assumption that those are the things that I am actually after, which immediately I shut off straight away. I don't buy into all that. I mean, that obsession with 10X and 10 grand months. I've never bought into that crap. I'm not on there to do that. And that was never, I never thought, you know what, I'm going to start this podcast so I can 10X my viewership or 10, you know, make 10 grand a month. I never even thought about that.
Yeah.
Ever. You know, like much like you with your radio show. I was like, can sharing these stories in any way, shape or form help people? And I know for a fact, and you probably already heard this as well, that it does, that it has, that it's been a lifeline for some people, that it's given them inspiration. I don't care really whether that's, it gives inspiration of one people, 10 people, 20 people, 100 people. I don't care. So again, that assumption that it will somehow gain some value from going viral. Behave.
So with me and Hugh with the radio show was, the radio show is called The Hour of Hope. And the reason it's called The Hour of Hope is because I know particularly in my life, when things have gone disastrously wrong, it just takes a tiny sliver of hope for you to go, I can take the next step. You know, and it doesn't need a lot, just a tiny little bit. So that's why it's called The Hour of Hope, is because we hope that there'll be some people listening that will maybe listen to something that we've said and thought, I can do that, or I could make a change, or that happened to her or him and they got through it. And so that's why we speak about topics in there that everybody can relate to. But last week we spoke about self-care, which we've kind of spoken a little bit about in today. Yep. And Huel said, I've just had a really good call after the show finished. And I said, what happened? And he said, a lady came on and she was in floods of tears. And from listening to us, she realized that she wasn't looking after herself at all.
Fuck. Yeah.
So and so when he told me, I said, why was she crying? So he told me, and then I said, we've done it. That was the objective. As long as this helps one person for what we're doing, that's, we've helped one person. And he went, I forgot that that's what we said at the beginning. And I said, that's the purpose of this, you know. And it's that success. Who defines your success? Nobody else does but you. And my success, I would rather not have £1 million in the bank, but have been able to invest in my children so they end up being good human beings. That's my legacy. If I had to give this all up tomorrow and go and stack shelves in Tesco's so I could invest more in my kids, I would do that. Because that's more important to me as a mum, you know, is getting that right for them. Because I know our parents didn't invest in us like that and didn't care for our emotional well-being. And that's because their parents didn't care for their emotional well-being. And actually, a few pounds in that investment of emotional care into your kids, saying to them, I see you, I hear you, what you say makes a difference, teaches them that they're important, that they can do things, that they can go, that they're worth it, that they're enough, you know, and that then helps them in the future. So for me, my success is my children, and I don't care about having heaps of clients or millions of pounds in the bank. That's never going to drive me, ever, you know. But for other people, that might be what drives them, and that's okay. That's their path.
Yeah.
And they're allowed to have their path, and that's right for them, but it's not right for me.
Absolutely. It's you're setting your success metrics by your success metrics. You're not by what other people are saying, this is the way it should be, this is what you should do. You know, I've heard, you know, I've heard so many people as well that have been told off, for want of a better word, when they've got on sales calls for not caring about their business because they're not willing to invest X amount of money on a scheme that may or may not help them. You know, that is wrong. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, in some cases, yes, there is a very high likelihood their limiting beliefs are getting in the way, but that's for them to figure out. That's for them to say, okay, yes, this is for me, this isn't for me. It's not for somebody to say, you aren't taking a vote for yourself, because in actual fact, they might be, by the fact they're saying, no, this isn't for me. They're actually making a vote for themselves. But it does get, and again, a lot of the business narrative at the moment out there,
and shaming people doesn't work. It's actually just... that's where we need to be on the front foot when we're getting that, to say, excuse me, that's not right for me. And I think that is the thing, that's the thing, it's so powerful. Right. See, when you get you, when you know what's good for you, what you like, what you don't like, what you're good at, what you're not so good at, who you like to hang out with, what's important to you. See, when you do all of that work, right, it makes it really easy to filter out the crap.
So and true.
It's so much easier. So like, that's good for you, but it's not good for me. No, thank you. And it doesn't mean that you're being horrible about it. It's just you're saying, no, that's not good for me. So like my son has recently found out he's dyslexic, and I found out at 45 that I'm dyslexic. How I've managed to get this far is amazing. And I went and I got a test for my eyes the other week, and I've got Erlen's syndrome. And I realized with the filters how difficult reading is for me. But I only noticed when I had the filter and not had the filter how bad it was. But I've managed my whole life with all these workarounds. But part of his dyslexia is he can only do 3 articles in a sentence, and I'm the same. When I used to work in the pub, people would come up with drinks orders, and I would say, how many's on your list? Oh, 12. Well, you can only carry 3. So how about you give me 3, and by the time that you go away with the 3, I'll have the next 3 ready. So I'd worked out how to get round my limitation of not being able to do more than 3 things. right? And that's the power of it. So Harris had gone back to school and he's got a lovely teacher called Mrs. Simpson, and she had said, she was firing loads of instructions at him. And Harris is really shy and he's really quiet. And he said, "Excuse me, Mrs. Simpson, I can't do that." And Mrs. Simpson had said to him, Why can't you do it?" And he said, "I can't do more than three things at a time." And she said, "Oh, Harris, I've been thinking that you weren't listening." And he said, "No, I am listening, but I just can't do that many instructions all at once." And she said, "Okay, I'm going to break it down into smaller blocks for you now that I know. Thank you so much for telling me." That's boom. That's the power of it. Because he was able, he knew what was good for him, and then he was able to communicate that out so other people were able to fit round what he needed. And that's the same for all of us too. That, like, we need to learn that stuff about ourselves too, so we can say to other people, "Please don't give me three tons of information. I can't take it all at once. I find it overwhelming." You know, like, then the other person will know to temper what they're doing for you. You know, it's not you being selfish. It's just you asking for things to be the way that you need them to be. And that's okay. You're allowed to do that.
It's owning it. It's owning it. Totally.
Absolutely. Totally. Yeah.
And on that note, talking about owning it, we're coming towards the end of our time together. If anybody out there is looking for support on their journey and showing up online, offline, as themselves, how can they get in touch with you?
They can get in touch with me on LinkedIn. I've got a really weird name, so you'll be able to find me, no problem. There's not very many female Athols. And I'm spelled A-T-H-O-L-E, Athol Forbes. So I think there's only one. So if you go and look on LinkedIn, you're not going to get the wrong person. So find me on there and just drop me a DM. And
so with that in mind, last question that I ask everybody that comes on our show. What is your espresso shot of confidence for our listeners?
Let go of the outcome, because ultimately you can't really control it. You can do the right things, but you can't control the outcome. You know, sometimes you just have to try your best and trust that that's going to be okay and enough. And when you do that, when you let go of that, it just makes your life a lot easier. You know, some things aren't for you. And if it doesn't work out, that's maybe because it's not working out for a reason. You just don't know what that reason is. So probably better to give you an example. Like, I've lost clients before, and I've been there going, "Oh my God, cash flow, blah, 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 blah." But then when I've had a word with myself, I went, "Maybe actually, do you know what? They were a pain in the bum and they never paid on time. And like, actually, maybe it's better that they're gone." The minute I switch into that, then I get somebody else who pays even more, and I'm doing more of the bits that I enjoy. So it's like the universe just taking a big sweeping brush and getting rid of the thing that's not supposed to be there and making a space for something else even better to come in. So when you think like that, it just feels better.
Love that. It just creates that space, doesn't it? And awesome. So thank you so much for your time today. It's been awesome having you here on the show.
I always enjoy our chat.
Likewise. And a big thank you to you, our awesome listeners, wherever you are in the universe. Be sure to subscribe wherever you're listening or watching this to get notifications of when the next episode drops. And in the meantime, as always, don't forget to be awesome.